Okay, we're now going to talk about the treatment, how they're treating COVID-19. And as I said many times, you heard me in a lecture already, they have treatments for it, therapeutics. So no one really should be dying from this. Maybe a very few people in the last stage of it, and they have some other complications. They may very, very few people die from it. But even then, if you caught those people and before the COVID got really bad, you would cure it. You would prevent it, and it would not cause death. And what happens is that these people, the conspirators, know about these treatments, and they ban them. First they started to downplay them and say, no, it doesn't work, and then they tried to use the multimedia to discredit them. And when it wasn't working, then they would actually come out and ban them. Now we're going to talk about some of these treatments that actually works and was curing people who had symptoms for COVID, and even serious symptoms from COVID. And we, like I said, I know somebody personally who had serious symptoms of COVID and wasn't treated with anything. All they were taking was their daily dose of vitamin C's and upped their vitamin C dose a little bit and all that. And they came out of it okay. So the conspirators don't want that to happen. They want to make this thing blow up, like, and they want it to be treatable, and they want to also give you a vaccine. That's another thing we're getting into, the reasons why they want to force the vaccine on you. But they want to perpetuate this thing, and they don't want to cure it. They want to give you this illusion that all these people are dying from it, and so they can keep the lockdowns. And we're going to give all the reasons for that later on. But let's talk about some of the treatments that absolutely work. We have one particular doctor, this disregards the restrictions. We're trying to tell you to put on a mask, you know, socially distance, clean all your surfaces off, so you got to walk around thing like this. I'm waiting for them to say put on a hazmat suit and walk around the hazmat suit, you know. But they give you all these restrictions, but these one doctor said the very thing that can that helps you fight against viruses and flus and stuff, particular viruses and stuff, is natural immunity for just germs around you all the time. And by you touching and interacting with these germs, it makes you immune to them, and you can exist in society. That's why your germaphobes are the most sickly people in the world. Like Howard Hughes was like that. You lock yourself up in a germ-free room, and you never go out. The first day that guy goes out in the street, he dies from any germ he gets, because his body's not used to it. So they're preventing us from natural immunities, and also from herd immunity. So herd immunity means that when there's a particular virus out present, that if enough people get it, and you're used to getting it, your body gets used to it and knows how to deal with it. So even when you do get this COVID-19 and you're around people that get it, your body starts getting used to it and can fight against it. So by you putting all these germaphobe people where you got to put the mask on, you got to socially distance, you got to clean off all the germs, you're preventing the natural immunity and the herd immunity, and you're going to make the people even worse sick. And one doctor came out with a good point here. He said, after these people come out from all these restrictions where they're germ-free, and then you let them finally say, no more masks anymore, you can now go out in public, you're going to have an outbreak like crazy. Because they don't have natural immunity. We're going to go to the clip right now.
This doesn't make any sense. We wear masks in an acute setting to protect us. We're not wearing masks. Why is that? Because we understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. And now I'm at home, hand washing vigorously, washing the counters, worried about things that are indeed what I need to survive.
You're not immunodeficient, and you're not elderly. You should be able to go out without any gloves and without a mask. I think if you are those things, you should either shelter in place or wear a mask and gloves. I don't think everybody needs to wear a mask and gloves because it reduces your bacterial flora. It doesn't allow you to interact with society, and your bacteria flora and your viruses, your friends that protect you from other diseases, end up going away, and now you're more likely to get opportunistic infections, infections that are hoping you don't have your good bugs fighting for you, if that makes sense.
And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses and bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike.
I guarantee when we reopen, there's going to be a huge, huge amount of illness that's going to be rampant.
The building blocks of your immune system is virus and bacteria. End of story.
Wearing the mask literally activates your own virus. You're getting sick from your own reactivated coronavirus expressions, and if it happens to be SARS-CoV-2, then you've got a big problem.
You're not the first virologist who has told me that we're doing the exact opposite of what we should be doing to contain and to create immunity from this virus.
Why would you close the beach? You've got sequences in the soil, in the sand. You've got healing microbes in the ocean, in the salt water. That's insanity.
You know, you get all kinds of diseases, not just COVID, flu, colds. Look at your germaphobes. You're the sickest people in the world. The ones that are always washing them, cleaning, they come out and they get something, they go down real quick. They even know that when you go into societies where there's like a prevalent virus that has been around for hundreds of years for this African tribe or something, doesn't even affect you, go there and you end up dying from it or getting it right away because you don't have that immunity. Another treatment that works, absolutely works, and probably one of the best treatments is hydroxychloroquine with zinc. All right, that is definitely proven to work, and we have 100% examples from doctors who are using it, nurses that use it. And what's particularly interesting about this is there's several cases where they had people that they were dying and they had nothing else they can do, and they said, that's it, they're at the end stage, this is really bad, and they're given this hydroxychloroquine with the zinc, and they recover within a couple hours and they come out off of it. Some people say it works best when you treat it before it gets to the last stages, but you have people who had it in the last stages and they were given hydroxychloroquine with the zinc and they recovered in a couple hours. One guy said he was suffering for weeks, a week or so, I don't know how long it was, and he was ready to die. And they said, I can't do nothing else. And he says, well, give me this, let me try this. And he tried it and he says, I got it the next day and I was out. Anyway, we're going to show you some examples about how effective this drug is. And this drug got a really major attack from the multimedia and the conspirators, and they were downplaying it and everything because they know it works. And they didn't want to have any cure for this because they wanted to perpetuate this thing. So we'll go to some of those clips showing you how effective this drug is. And the fact that is, I think the procedure was, they first didn't ban it, they just discredited it. And they said, you're a quack, you're stupid, don't take it. And then they actually came out and actually really banned it. The government and individual states was banning it. And so even if a doctor couldn't prescribe it, pharmacists were even telling doctors they couldn't give it to them when a doctor says, I want to give it to them. Yeah. So here's another thing. This drug goes back, I don't know, a long time. It was used for malaria. It's a safe drug. They've been using it for years. So there's nothing unsafe about the drug. So my argument would be, okay, you guys don't agree with this. You think it doesn't do anything. So then it doesn't do anything. It's not going to kill them. So why are you banning it? Let them try it. And who are you to interfere with the doctor's decision? And he wants to use this drug. On top of the fact that even if you think it doesn't work, then the best, most is going to happen, it doesn't work. You guys are saying these people are going to die anyway, and you have no treatment for it. So why not let them try it? So that's the hypocrisy on all of this, too. You're going to see all that going on in these clips we're going to show you. The first one's going to be from a blue state slaughter again, and we're going to show you that clip first.
In your home state where you were treating people, what would the protocol be?
It varied upon each individual, you know, but we definitely would never go immediately to, you know, you're going to need a vent.
You didn't feel pressure to diagnose people? There wasn't a pressure to diagnose people COVID?
Not at all. No. We're not a public hospital, too. That makes a huge difference. What I'm seeing is it's the public hospitals, and this is like in other states too. If you look at all the hospitals, most of them are public that are needing money, but our hospital would just treat them based on the individual, you know, and they were using the hydroxychloroquine and the zinc and, you know, that protocol for sure.
At your hospital?
Oh yeah.
And that seemed to work?
Yeah. We didn't have anybody that died. I think there was one patient that was admitted and went home like the day later. And I'm in a pretty big city, so.
And were these people who were elderly with comorbidities who were having good outcomes?
Yeah, actually one guy came, the one guy that was admitted came from a nursing home. And he was obese, like severely obese.
And he left?
Yeah, he's fine.
He left after a day?
I think it was like a night, maybe two nights max, but.
And what do you remember what he was treated with?
I didn't have him on the floor, but I can imagine he was treated with the protocol that we would prescribe patients before they left the emergency room.
Which was?
With the hydroxychloroquine and zinc.
Why do you think that's been demonized so much?
Oh, because it's working and then people wouldn't need fens. I don't know.
Only on 2 tonight, a Houston hospital is having success treating the coronavirus patients. In fact, its recovery rate is perfect.
Fascinating, isn't it?
To treat patients here, Dr. Veron is using an experimental drug protocol. It's a cocktail of vitamins, steroids, and blood thinners. Each patient also is getting hydroxychloroquine, the malaria drug touted by President Trump. The protocol is controversial because there hasn't been time for extensive testing, but Dr. Veron says it works.
We've treated over 40-plus patients with this treatment, and we haven't had a single complication.
So far, he says, none of his patients have died.
This is time of war, but it's no time to double-blind anything. This is working, and if it's working, I'm going to keep on doing it.
What we're finding clinically with our patients is that it really only works in conjunction with zinc. So the hydroxychloroquine opens a zinc channel, zinc goes into the cell, it then blocks the replication of the cellular machinery.
You're prescribing it, and it is working for COVID-19 patients.
Every patient I prescribed it to has been very, very ill, and within 8 to 12 hours, they were basically symptom-free. And so clinically, I am seeing a resolution that mirrors what we saw in the French study and some of the other studies worldwide. But what I am seeing is that people are taking it alone by itself, it's not having efficacy.
And easily treatable, you feel, with some of these treatments?
Yeah,
like
100%.
Zinc and hydroxychloroquine, yeah. And you know, so any,
it's,
yeah,
it's working. I mean, it's been proven to work. There's a doctor, I think, in Texas that's, you know, using that protocol and a shot in the butt, you know, of antibiotic shot. I don't know exactly which one she was using, and she's successfully treating. And she was saying that the pharmacist now is calling her every time that she prescribes, you know, the hydroxychloroquine, and asking what the diagnosis was of the patients in order to give it to them. I'm like, that's a doctor-patient relationship. So the pharmacist, I guess, was told to do this. And, you know, in New York, the governor said, you know, pretty much put a ban on it. So why, what made him, you know, a medical professional now to make these decisions and intrude on the doctor-patient relationship?
Because you're,
I think, yeah. I know. Mm. You know, I've seen it. It's they want a vent. He wants to be right. They requested all these vents. They want to use them.
There's a good example of the motive of these conspirators. Murder. Kill these people so you can perpetuate this COVID-19 scare, so you can shut down businesses and you can make them more dependent on the government and big businesses. It's the conspirators, it's the people, they hate human beings. It's murder. The governments, the government people, the governor and the people that are doing this are either conspirators or they're going along with the conspirators because they're getting a lot of money out of it and they're getting benefits from it. Those are the two reasons. Why would you ban something that's 100% working from somebody to cure him and you don't give it to him? That's murder, folks. We call that murder. When you don't give somebody something you can give them to save their life, you're killing that person. That's murder. There's a clear case of what's going on over here. And so they want to pump up this COVID-19 thing, making you believe it's this real super deadly disease. When they got the cures for it, I mean, the treatments for it. We're going to go to more clips about the hydroxychloroquine and zinc. And this is from Pandemic Part 1.
As the country begins emerging from the worst of the coronavirus epidemic, one question remains. What happened to all the hydroxychloroquine?
We know that hydroxychloroquine and zinc are working great for patients. And then Fauci comes out and says, well, there's no double-blind controlled placebo study. Which, by the way, Dr. Fauci, is there going to be a double-blind controlled placebo study of your vaccine? Is there?
In a survey polling nearly 2,300 doctors in some 30 countries, hydroxychloroquine was ranked as the most effective medication to treat the virus.
The AMA was saying, you know, doctors will lose their license if they use hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malarial drug that's been on the list of essential medicine worldwide for 70 years. Dr. Fauci calls that anecdotal
data.
It's not storytelling if we have thousands of pages of data saying it's effective against these families of viruses. This is essential medicine, and they keep it from the people. Not only now, but back in autism with our discovery, there was an old antiviral drug, 100-year-old drug called Suramin, on the WHO list of essential medicine. It literally gave kids with autism a voice, a life. What did Bayer and Monsanto do? They took it away from everybody. You couldn't get it to save your life right now. We tried, believe me, every way we could. So when you take away a medicine, and not just the WHO, not just the WHO, the FDA, the CDC, Tony Fauci, close everything. Just end it all, and we've got a healthy world again. And we got tons of money, because we can take all that money they're making on their patents, and we can give it to the victims of this plague of corruption.
We're going to go to another clip from a documentary called Battle for Humanity, and they did a really good job at exposing the COVID-19 conspiracy.
So, this goes into the next thing of, there is a treatment. You know, there have been doctors stepping forward. We do know of different treatments. In fact, hydroxychloroquine, you might have heard about that, but it's being banned from certain protocols. Doctors, including my state, Georgia, where I'm licensed, the pharmacies now can turn down our prescriptions for hydroxychloroquine at their leisure. We never heard this before. Why is a doctor being prevented from prescribing a treatment that we know that can help with this virus and even prevent it? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's the money. Maybe it's an agenda for the vaccines. Because what is the other reason? Doctors, the American frontline doctors, they went up and they were talking about their experiences. How they had such success with the hydroxychloroquine. They went in front of Congress, or they had a public hearing, and then they were silenced. Their website went down. One of the doctors was fired. Another one has been slandered. There were repercussions for speaking out.
So for everybody who tuned in yesterday, I understand it went to over 20 million views on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and then they deleted us and canceled us. We're tired of seeing patients die in front of us, and we're even more upset to see the spider web of fear that is enveloping the American public. When there's a treatment, there's a cure. People have been afraid to say that. But what else do you call it if you give somebody the medication early and it aborts the disease process? We're coming after you, big tech. We're coming after you. We won't be silenced. The First Amendment is first for a reason, okay? You won't silence. If we come back every day, we'll come back every day. There's thousands of us. And by the way, the tide of evidence for hydroxychloroquine being safe and the solution for Americans, it's a tsunami.
The drug has been shown in endemic areas where they use it all the time. There's no COVID, almost zero. Who's the number one person for infectious disease in the world? And has he weighed in on this? He has. His name's Didier Raoul. He's treated 4,000 people with this drug and have fabulous results. Hydroxychloroquine works. Withholding it from patients is shameful. We're here to bring you that news. Hydroxychloroquine works.
I'm Dr. Stella Emanuel. I'm a pediatrician and an emergency room physician, Houston, Texas. I come from a different perspective. I'm from Cameroon originally, and I went to medical school in Nigeria. We took hydroxychloroquine, we took camoquine, flavoquine, and all the quines. So I'm kind of used to these medications. So when they started saying it was not work, it was dangerous, I was like, what? Because we give it to babies, pregnant women, elderly people, everybody takes it. Hydroxychloroquine works. I have treated over 350 patients, asthmatics, diabetics, old people, 92-year-olds, 70-something-year-olds, 80-something-year-olds. We've not had one death. America, you don't need to be afraid. COVID has a cure. You don't need to be afraid. COVID has prevention.
It is important that people realize there's a concerted effort to keep the safety and efficacy of hydroxychloroquine away from the American people, and we need to speak up. All of us do. Thank you.
The only way you, as the American people, will get this drug is if you demand it. You're going to have to write to your your congressmen, your governors, tweet President Trump. You've got to demand it. If you demand it, you'll get it, and you can save your life. And many others, do it.
Thank you so much. Yes, let's do that. Let's all tweet the president. Demand hydroxychloroquine. What is our hashtag?
Hydroxychloroquine works.
Hashtag hydroxychloroquine works. Write to the president.
All right. And now we'll go to a clip from Laura Ingraham from Fox News.
Now, presently, hydroxychloroquine is part of the recommended standard of care for COVID patients at the Yale New Haven Hospital, the Lenox Hill Hospital, the Long Island Jewish Medical Center, Staten Island University Hospital, and many others. So my question to Michael Grinbaum of the New York Times and all these other people writing, are they killing people too?
You notice they had it in the Jewish hospital. What's the Jews to die from it? Yeah, and I guarantee you, look, they may not make it public. They might publicly say, no, we don't do it. But secretly, when a Jew's infected by it, you know, they give them the hydroxychloroquine with zinc and say, don't tell the goy cattle. You take it, you know. They can even give it to them and not even let them know what it is. Just take this. I got something. Don't tell them it's hydroxychloroquine with zinc because they want to perpetuate their lie. And there's also another cure for COVID-19, ivermectin. We'll go to the clip.
Also at 6 tonight, a judge recently had to order Millard Fillmore Suburban Hospital to give a COVID-19 patient an experimental drug treatment. Tonight, 7 Eyewitness News senior reporter Eileen Buckley has more on how that drug may have saved the life of an 80-year-old woman. Take a look.
This is 80-year-old Judith Smith-Kevich of Cheektowaga, who is at Millard Fillmore Suburban Hospital in Amherst with COVID. She was placed on a ventilator in late December. Initially, doctors gave her one dose of the controversial drug ivermectin, and she improved.
Within 48 hours, she's off the ventilator, out of ICU, onto a COVID floor.
But her condition worsened, and just days after the first dose, doctors placed her back on a ventilator. Larigo says the hospital refused to give her more doses of the drug. That's when he drew up court papers and included a letter from the woman's doctor who wrote how she improved dramatically after the first dose. State Supreme Court Judge Henry Nowak ordered the hospital to administer the drug, but the hospital initially refused.
I say to him, I've got a court order. We've relieved you of liability. My people will sign a release, and I go through the history of this lady. They still object.
There is debate about using ivermectin to treat COVID. The FDA-approved drug is used mostly to treat children for head lice, but it has been effective for some COVID patients.
Some studies report a benefit. Some studies do not.
Infectious disease expert Dr. Thomas Russo says the drug has received significant attention.
Ivermectin is believed to have both anti-inflammatory properties and potentially antiviral properties against the new coronavirus.
Larigo says the hospital finally agreed to give Smith-Kevich the drug again.
And the judge finally decides that, look, the family physician ordered it. The hospital has to give it to her. That's his order. And they have to continue it.
Kaleida Health issued a written statement saying, we are aware of this family's position. Federal privacy laws prevent us from disclosing details on the patient's hospital stay. Moreover, as this is also a legal matter, we will not comment any further. And right now, Russo says there is not enough data for the National Institute of Health to recommend the drug for treating COVID. But Larigo says Smith-Kevich is living proof that it works. She's now off the ventilator and expected to be released to rehab soon. He says the lesson here is the importance of health advocacy, in this case from her family, her doctor, and a judge.
And because of that, this woman is alive today and on her way to being healthy.
Eileen Buckley, 7 Eyewitness News.
Now we're going to talk about another treatment for COVID, even people that had extreme cases of it, vitamin C. All right, and people who had extreme cases, one doctor was treating with high doses of vitamin C and it cured them. Now, another thing also with vitamin C, it's a great preventative. So it prevents you from even getting a lot of sicknesses, illnesses, and even COVID. I'm going to give you an example with myself even. I used to get the flu every year, and I have weak lungs to start with. My whole life, my lungs were always weak, you know? And so I would get a pretty bad flu, like once a year. Sometimes it would be worse years than others. And the past 2 years, I started to take vitamin C daily. And I was taking, I take 1,500 milligrams a day, 500 in the morning, 500 in the afternoon, 500 at night. I take a high B complex three times a day also. But since I've been taking that vitamin C, I have not had the flu in 2 years. And I used to get it every year. I would get to the point where you feel you're catching a little something, then I take a little more C, the next day it's gone. So I never really, it never got a hold of me in 2 years. And now, we're around people that have COVID and all that. And so vitamin C is also a preventative, so you don't even get it. And doctors, a lot of doctors, they hate preventative medicines, because if you use preventative medicines, you don't get sick. If you don't go sick, you don't go to the doctor. If you don't go to the doctor doesn't make any moolah, doesn't make any money. Right? Not all doctors are like that, but I tell you, quite a few were in that category years ago. There's a few more doctors coming out now that are talking about preventative medicines, only because the general public are aware of it, and they're demanding it. And they're demanding it, so they're saying, we better get in on this preventative medicine thing and start. Now they're trying to tell you, which is not bad, you go to a doctor so he can give you preventative measures for things, which is fine for that reason. But my point on this section is, you're going to see this clip where this one doctor was treating a patient who had really COVID really bad with high dose of vitamin C, and it worked. This is also, again, from Blue State Slaughter. And this Aaron is confronting this doctor about the vitamin C thing that the guy was being treated with, that it worked. And then the doctor comes out and he says, oh, vitamin C doesn't work. It's no good. Like for anything. No good for anything. Now, there's an extreme doctor that... Is this guy, even most of your doctors agree that vitamin C is good for you. This guy's a nut. It's not good for anything because he doesn't want to use it in this particular case.
So with these actual COVID patients, they present by not really being able to breathe. Maybe they've, as you say, they've probably waited too long. They're not able to breathe. And some of that's anxiety. And what else? So what else do they, how else do they present?
So their lungs, if you look at their x-rays, you can immediately see that these patients are affected by COVID because they're white. Their lungs are white. And the secretions are really, really thick, mucousy, and white. And that's what the photo or the x-ray of these lungs look like.
And what, so what does a white lung look mean? What is that? Is that just, is that mucus?
Yeah,
in the lung?
It's coated. It's almost like their lungs are coated.
So that makes it hard to obviously transfer oxygen into the bloodstream. And so they've got very mucusy lungs. And how do you deal with that? Is that what hydroxychloroquine and zinc do? Or?
I mean, those treatments are for beginning stages. Mm. Like once you get to the stage where your lungs are looking like that and you're having a lot of trouble breathing, there are proven treatments that have passed like three trials in Asia through Dr. Chang. He's a US board certified physician. Is this like extremely high dose IV vitamin C. He's successfully treating people with that. And what that's doing is it's giving your body, essentially your lungs, like the power, the antioxidant power to kick it out, while you can be getting IV antibiotics to be treating this and getting rid of it. But they don't want to have anything to do with it here. What they want to do is just throw them on a vent and sedate them.
Yeah. Have you done the high-dose IV vitamin C that's successful in Asia?
No, that doesn't work. Really, the other stuff, that's people are trying all kinds of silly stuff. There's no scientific basis for vitamin C to work in here.
Well, Dr. Chang, he was the one that it went through that high dose. I'm talking super high dose IV vitamin C. That's super antioxidants. Helps your body fight that.
Yeah.
It passed three trials. And it's being effective. It's just weird how like everybody shuts it down immediately.
Because it's vitamin C story has been around for a very long time.
Oh, but that's weird because I take it daily and I haven't been sick.
You may just have good genes. If you're not getting sick, I don't think it's from vitamin C. You may just have good genes.
This bastard doctor says vitamin C is not good for anything. And he says, you've got good. So now he wants people to continue to get. This is the mentality, especially 40 or 50 years ago. Many doctors didn't like vitamin anything. They wanted you to just. So are you kidding me? This is against even your. Where did this guy go to school? Just to make an excuse to not give it to this person. Now he's saying it's not his genes. You don't want to give it to anybody. And it's very well proven that vitamin C is a very, keeps your immune system up and is a preventative thing for many things. And this guy's telling me it's no good at all. Who is this guy? He's an idiot. He's a nut. He just wants to justify killing these people. He's a murderer, this doctor. He's a murderer. And if it was a Catholic country, this bastard would be put up on trial and he would be killed. Now you're gonna love this next clip. This is like the cream, the cherry on the top of the pie or the cake. Where you got the cherry on the top of it. This Erin again, Olszewski. She's talking to the patient's dying, and the doctor comes up and says he's dying. There's nothing more we can do for him. And she says, well, why don't we try some treatments, some of these treatments. And he goes, no, they don't work. They don't work. It's all a lie. They don't work. It's not. They don't do anything. And basically, she's saying, well, what have we got to lose? And she goes, why don't we still give him hydroxychloroquine with zinc? And she's mentioned some other thing. And he goes, it might make him sicker, and he might die from it. And then she says, wait a second. You said he's dying anyway. So what do you got to lose? And here's the clip where this guy makes a jackass out of himself. Which isn't too hard for these people to do. They just got to open their mouth, and you can see the lies coming out of it. Watch the hypocrisy on this guy, and she nails him.
I mean, when you think about it, it's sickening. The same reason they won't use like other treatments that are successful around the world. And I had a conversation with a doctor about this.
Are you guys doing like different sorts of like treatments? Because I know like
nothing works.
They have. Yeah, but I mean, there's, you know, they're coming out with different things that are in the testing
phase. It's the same thing they came with a platform and that killed more people than actually saved.
Uh-huh.
So that's one.
And he said that they don't work anyway. And I told him, well, obviously what you guys have going on here isn't working. So what's the harm in trying?
I don't expect any of these people to survive. 90% of them would die.
I mean, it's just maintaining. So I figured if it's assumed they're going to die anyway,
yeah.
Just try
not throw a few.
Well, it's, you know, yeah. I don't know. That's always an issue in medicine, whether you should just throw things, whether they're dying anyway or not.
But if you could find a cure.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
there's
like
no cure. So there's no antiviral therapy. The only way to do it is cure. But there's
or
no
treatment,
antiviral.
I should say. Rephrase.
You
treatment.
You could treat it, but, you know, you have to have some scientific basis for whether these things are working or not, and just throwing everything at them, you could make them worse.
Uh-huh.
So,
worse
you know,
than death?
Huh?
Worse than death?
Well, we said 90%, maybe that 10% maybe they're true, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if there's no basis for it working, I mean, you wouldn't just try things just because. I mean,
I would.
Oh, I might,
if it could save my life. Yeah, hell yeah.
We're now going to talk about the COVID-19 vaccines, and there's two reasons not to take the vaccines. The first and most important is because they're immoral, and the second is because they're untrustworthy. Now we're going to tell you why the vaccines are immoral, and we're going to give you information on it. Their product depends upon aborted infants. So they call them fetal cells, okay? The fetal cells from aborted infants. Now all the vaccines depend on fetal cells either for their development, production, or in their testing phases. So every one of them uses fetal cells, either in their development, production, or in their testing phases. Now, the fetal cells that they use from the aborted infants are from two aborted infants that go back to, I'm going to read from this, 1960s and the 1970s. I'm going to quote from an article from North Dakota Health. Historical fetal cell lines were derived in the 1960s and 1970s from two elective abortions. Notice to say elective abortions, like it's okay, because it was voluntary. They didn't force the abortion. Did the infant have a choice? No. It's murder either way. Whether it's voluntary or involuntary, you're murdering an infant. Okay? They're trying to, elective abortion, that makes it okay, right? No, elective by who? From two elective abortions that have been used to create vaccines for diseases such as hepatitis A, rubella, and rabies. The fetal cell lines being used to produce some of the potential COVID-19 vaccines are from two sources. HEK293, a kidney cell line that was isolated from a fetus, an aborted baby, in 1973. HEK293, a kidney cell line that was isolated from a fetus, an aborted infant, and these happened to be a girl, a female, in 1973 from an elective abortion. PERC6, a retinal cell that was isolated from an aborted infant in 1985, which also was a female. And they are both from the Netherlands. See, Roe v. Wade wasn't passed until 1973, so before that, you couldn't even do this kind of research in the U.S. And even after Roe v. Wade, they weren't picking up on this research right away, so they were getting this from Netherlands and Europe, from other places where they were getting these fetal cells. Now, I've got a quote from another article from the Nebraska doctor, and it's on his website called NebraskaMed.com. Fetal cell lines are cells that grow in a laboratory. They descend from cells taken from elective abortions in the 1970s and 1980s. Those individual cells from the 1970s and 1980s have since multiplied into many new cells over the past 4 or 5 decades, creating fetal cell lines. They replicate, but it comes from those abortions. All traces back to those 2 abortions. Vaccine makers may use these fetal cell lines in any of the following 3 stages of vaccine development. The development, identifying what works, confirmation, making sure it works, production, manufacturing the formula that works. Pfizer and Moderna did perform confirmation tests to ensure the vaccines work using fetal cell lines. So Pfizer and Moderna only used it in the confirmatory testing phase, but not in the development and production, but they still use them. And Johnson & Johnson uses the fetal cell lines in vaccine development, confirmation, and production. So they use it through the whole process. But they all can use fetal cell lines to develop their vaccines. We're going to now go to a clip from a news report on the role of church leaders in the COVID-19 vaccine.
Rollout of the vaccines has reignited the debate over the relationship between modern medicine and stem cells from abortions.
For the COVID-19 vaccines, those fetal cell lines came from elective abortions in the 1970s and 1980s, and they are then replicated over time. Fetal cell lines are not the same as fetal tissue. From one aborted fetus, you could have millions of fetal cell lines that allow for vaccines to be able to be replicated and made.
That's the most important part we're going to get on here now. The natural law alone tells anybody. I don't have to quote Catholic dogmas to you. And even if you're a pagan with the law upon your heart, you can know, after what I just said here, that every one of these vaccines you have today use fetal cell lines in one way or another, and I ain't going to take it. I'm not going to take it because it depends upon the murder of infants. Infanticide, and it's murder. And I'm not going to be a partner in your crime by benefiting from it. That's common sense, right? And I think there's a group of people out there, you don't need to be Catholic to know this. A pagan on the island who has a law upon his heart can know this. You're a partner. You're participating in that crime by receiving it. You're consenting to it by receiving it. And you're associated with it by receiving it. And you're benefiting it from receiving it. Now, the ironic part of a lot of this is these nominal Catholics are told that you can receive these vaccines as long as you protest it and say, oh, they're wrong, it's evil, it's immoral. Well, what a hypocrisy that is. What a joke that is. Wait a second. By your words, you're saying it's evil, but by your actions, you're taking it in. Remember St. Paul said, they profess to know me, but and their works they deny me, being abominable and credulous unto every good work reprobate, Titus 1:16. So you say that the thing is evil, you say that it's wicked, but you take it nevertheless. So your actions deny your good words. Your actions. You sin by, you consent by your actions. All right, so this is how mortal sins. I'm going to give the real catechism lesson on this, Penny Catechism of 1859. And how many ways we may either cause or share in the guilt of another sin. We may either cause or share in the guilt of another sin in 9 ways. By counsel, by command, by consent. I don't care. You can say that, oh, I don't consent to these things, they're evil. But when you take it, that's the most powerful. You do consent to it. By taking it, by your actions. By provocation, by praise or flattery, by concealment. None of those. By being a partner in the sin. You're a partner in the sin by receiving it. And by benefiting from it. And by silence. And by defending the ill done. You are defending the ill done by taking it. I can give you like a common sense thing, right? If men don't take it, men won't make it. Because men make it because men take it. You see what I mean? So if no one took it, you wouldn't have to, you wouldn't be participating in these immoral activity, you see? Now, I'm going to read from some quotes from the scriptures to show you about how they were a partner in this murdering of infants. We read from Joshua 6:18, "But beware lest you touch aught not those things that are forbidden, and you be guilty of transgression, and all the camp of Israel be under sin and be troubled." Don't touch. Look what St. Paul says about that. Same kind of a thing in 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 17. "For what participation hath justice with injustice? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? Wherefore, go out from amongst them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." All these apostate nominal bishops admit it's unclean. They say it's immoral, but they say you can still take it. St. Paul says, don't even touch it, let alone take it and shoot it into your blood. Don't even touch it. This is what St. Paul is saying. St. Paul also says, relating to this, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and then 16 to 17. "Or know you not that your members are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? But if any man violate the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which you are." Violate the temple of God by taking these vaccines into your blood. By benefiting from these things that depended upon murdered infants, upon abortion. You defile your temple. Now I'm going to give you a quote from Pope St. Leo the Great, which it's providential that I quote this today because this is his feast day. This is the octave day of the resurrection, and it's the 11th day of the fourth month, which is his feast day. But I got a quote from Pope St. Leo the Great here, from letter 4 to several bishops. From 443. "We ought to keep clean from every stain. To be defiled by contact with wicked schemers." Do not be defiled with contact with wicked schemers. Those who made those vaccines are wicked schemers. And by you just not touching it and taking it, you're benefiting from it, you're a partner in that crime. I don't care, you can say all you want how immoral it is and how evil it is. Your actions speak louder than your words. Now we read from Ecclesiasticus 12:13. "Who will pity an enchanter struck by a serpent, or anyone that come near a wild beast? So it is with him that keepeth company with a wicked man and is involved in his sins." By you taking that vaccine and you know it contains aborted infants, you're involved in its sins. And I'll make an addendum on that. It's a mortal sin for those who know aborted infants are in those vaccines and you take it nevertheless. But if you don't know it, and you're invisibly ignorant, inculpably ignorant, that they depended upon fetal cells and aborted infants, you're not guilty of mortal sin if you didn't know that. It's for those who know that, they have this information, and they take it nevertheless. Now, we're going to read here from some imprimatur moral theology books. With respect to, this has to do with our topics, but it relates. "With respect to obscene plays, the scandal is given by playwrights, managers, actors, and actresses, and those who patronize or applaud them." Well, they don't applaud, but they patronize. What does patronizing mean? When you go to a store and you buy something, you're patronizing that store. When you go and you use the vaccine, you're patronizing the vaccine by taking it. You're patronizing it. Here's another quote from a imprimatur moral theology book. "One may be a partner in the infliction of injuries in various ways. He who helps another to perform an unjust action is a partner in injustice in a strict sense. One, however, who receives stolen goods and so encourages him in committing injustice is also a partner in his sin." How does this relate? Oh, my brother stole the bank and he gave me the money and I know he stole the bank. I'm going to take the money and use it anyway, but I'm not guilty. He is, because he did the stealing, not me. That's what you're saying about the vaccine. You're going to hear about these apostate, nominal Catholic bishops, these pieces of crap, what they say. And their final acceptance is the same. Well, because you did not make it, and you did not influence the making of it, you just took it, you're not guilty. That's like saying, well, my brother went out and robbed the bank, and I know he robbed the bank, and I know that's stolen money, and I take that money and benefit from it and use it. That's the same thing for those who take the vaccine. That would be like him condemning his brother, saying, how dare you rob from that bank and take other people's money? That's not your money. You're not supposed to do that. Oh, give me the money so I can go out and spend it. right? By his actions, he's condoning what his brother did. That's the same thing you're doing when you take that vaccine, but you're saying, oh, it's evil, the vaccine's immoral, but I'm going to take it anyway. You're benefiting from it, you're patronizing it. Now we're going to get to another thing that comes out of this with these apostate nominal Catholic bishops and theologians are teaching here. There's heresy involved in this, because what they're really telling you is it's okay for you to commit a sin if good comes from it. So as long as you a good comes out of it, you're allowed to commit a sin and you're not guilty. You're not guilty. Now how do they do that? They do that by waving their magic wand and making what is not remote, remote. And I'm going to explain that. They're trying to say, well, by you taking the vaccine, you have a remote cooperation with it, so you're not really involved in it at all. They call it remote cooperation. So they're giving you, what they're doing is they don't understand, that they do understand, but they're lying. It's not remote. It's direct cooperation. Now I'm going to explain to you what remote cooperation means. It means that a person did not commit, promote, or defend the sin and did not benefit from it. And I can give you an example. We're talking about a maintenance worker who works in a hospital. And he has to go in and clean an operating room where abortions are performed. And he's just mopping the floor and all that. That's remote cooperation. He didn't do the abortion. He did not promote the abortion. He did not benefit from the abortion. He didn't get anything out of the abortion. He's just mopping. That's remote cooperation, and that guy's not guilty of any sin. That's the true meaning of it. But when you take that vaccine, you're benefiting from it, you're associated with it, and you're consenting to it by your actions. That would be like if that maintenance man went in there when he was mopping the floor and an abortion was going on, he went over, either participated in it, and somehow he benefited from it. Here, take this baby's arm and take it home so you can eat it and cook it on your stove or something, you see? So what they're trying to say, they misapply the true meaning of remote cooperation in which somebody really isn't guilty, and so they're calling something that really, it's not remote. When you're taking that vaccine, you're directly benefiting from it. It's not remote. But that's one of the tricks they play. We're going to get into some more ploys, what they get. You're going to see, in these following clips, how the dogma is that it's immoral to take the vaccine. That's the dogma. But now you're going to see how it evolves, almost with lightning speed with these nominal bishops. They keep changing their own mind and contradicting themselves at least 3 or 4 times. So they say one thing, then they change and they say another thing, then another thing comes up and they say another thing. So even out of their own mouths, they keep changing the parameters, which they say allows you to take the vaccine. Okay? Now, as we go along, you're going to see the history on this. All right, now, when this first, they came out with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, I didn't know myself, like, if they were made dependent upon fetal cells. I didn't know. And so we're watching the news. So almost every night, at least I don't watch EWTN except for their news. I look at their news nightly so I can understand what the enemy's doing, what their thinking is. And they say some good things, but they see a lot of bad things too. It's like 50-50, you know. But you get your idea, because if you're going to try to convert these people, you want to see what they're thinking and what's coming out of the nominal Catholic Church. But anyway, I turned on EWTN, and the first report I heard about Pfizer and Moderna, theologian comes out and he says that Pfizer and Moderna does not involve fetal cells at all, at all. And so what he's implying is neither development, production, or testing. So when I heard that, and I think, you know, one of the pro-life women here said, oh, that's good, what a relief, we can take it, because it doesn't involve fetal cell lines. You're going to see this is the first clip I saw, and we're going to play it to you right now.
That is the CEO of Pfizer reacting to news this week that their coronavirus vaccine looks to be 90% effective. The company is now on track to apply for emergency use approval from the Food and Drug Administration later this month. But should Catholics have any cause for concern with this vaccine? Joining me now on Skype is Dr. Joseph Meany, president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Welcome back. Joseph, as a bioethics expert, can you clarify, are fetal cell lines involved in this Pfizer vaccine?
So the good news is not at all. It's a new type of vaccine, the mRNA type, similar to the Moderna vaccine that does not use any cell lines whatsoever in its production.
Now, after I saw that clip, I came and was talking to the brothers about it, and one of the brothers was telling me, no, Rich, I think it does have to do with aborted cell lines. And I wasn't sure, you know, and I went, oh, well, where'd you get your information from? Now we got to investigate. But So you're looking at that. She's even happy. Oh, it doesn't depend on that. That's the first one I heard. Then all of a sudden, now before we go to my next step, I want to show you who else believed, and he's a liar too, okay? The Protestant Franklin Graham, Franklin the Graham Cracker. We're going to listen to he actually says you can take the Pfizer and Moderna because it doesn't involve fetal cells. Now, I'll tell you why he's lying. Because he knows better. And one guy made a good point. He's very responsible for a whole flock under him. So whatever he says is very important. You just don't shoot. That's why I had to study myself. You didn't just come out and say things without studying. So he knows. He's lying. And a good point people made, well, even if he didn't know then, he certainly knows now because a lot of people emailed him and wrote him about it. So he knows, and he's still supporting these two vaccines. He took it himself even. And we're going to go to the clip where you see him lying right here.
Differences in vaccine development have led some religious leaders to prefer one vaccine over another.
I would be concerned about something that we used fetal cells from a murdered child. But Moderna and Pfizer, we've been told from the scientists that the way they produced that vaccine, these things were not used.
So there he is playing stupid. You know, he started a little bit from what we're told. You know, so that, you know, what they call, even if he didn't study it, that's called affected ignorance. But I don't believe he didn't study it. I believe he did. He might have got two opinions on it, like the jerk who said it, and he's trying to follow the one he wants. So he didn't do no real investigating, so he's stuttering. We're now going to go to a clip from True News where these guys have some really good statements, and they're not as bad as the evangelicals or so on several issues. They're not Christian Zionists, and they understand that these vaccines are evil, and to take the vaccine is a mortal sin of murdering infants, if you know that these things depend on it. But they're going to criticize, rightly so, Franklin Graham on this statement.
But Franklin Graham in that ABC interview, there's one thing he said that was not true. He said that aborted baby cells were not used in the vaccines.
The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines is the two specific, and he has taken the vaccine. He admits
Franklin that. Graham?
Franklin Graham has.
He's been vaccinated
with
it?
He's been vaccinated. And he claims those two don't have any ethical compromise to them in regard to infanticide, the killing of the unborn.
Aborted fetal cells may not have been used inside those vaccines, but they were used to test the vaccines. That's the fact, Jack. That's true. All four of the major vaccines either contain aborted fetal stem cells or they were tested using aborted fetal stem cells. All four of them.
Okay, after I heard that from EWTN, then the following week, and I think they got stormed by a lot of comments from people complaining, saying, hey, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. That theologian, that whatever the guy was, that theologian, you're wrong. They do use fetal cell lines in Pfizer and Moderna in the confirmatory testing phase, so they do use them. So then they corrected themselves a week later. This is the week, on the Lord's Day, we were talking about it, then the very week, now they're coming out and saying, oh, yeah, okay, we better correct. And they didn't even say they're making a correction. They just came out and said, it does, they do use them in testing, in the testing phase. Now, what these nominal Catholic bishops are telling you is, oh, because it was only used in the testing phase, but not in the development production phase, you can take it because it's remote. It's not actually in the vaccine itself, which is a heresy in itself, as I said before. It's still used and dependent upon fetal cell lines, murdered infants, to produce that vaccine. It's not remote. It depended upon them. They used it in the testing phase, and it's not remote. And they try to tell you, well, it's remote because it wasn't used in the development of production. We're going to go to where they do admit, at least in the testing phase, and so now they have to come up with plan B that, well, it was only the testing phase, you can take it.
And as more vaccines come out, Catholics may have a hierarchy of options. Dr. Meany says besides confirmatory testing, the Pfizer vaccine did not rely on abortion-derived cell lines in its production, a positive sign.
It would be better to take a vaccine that has less to do with these abortion-derived cell lines than one that is completely immersed in them.
In Washington, Mark Irons, EWTN News Nightly.
And that's the same guy a week ago said it didn't contain anything, so they must have got all over his case. So you can sort of like commit half a murder. It's like one quarter of a murder. It's still a murder. It all depended on the murder of a human being. And you used it. There's nothing remote about that. That vaccine exists because by using fetal cell lines. All right? And so now, but at least now he's coming out and he's trying to do backup on it. But he didn't say you can take it. And he says, well, it's not as evil. It's not, it's the same, it's murder. dependent upon a murder infant. Now, we're going to get into where these nominal Catholic bishops now allow it because they say, well, it's only testing, so you can use it. That's on the next, on this. The bishop I think we're talking about is Bishop Joseph Newman, and you're going to listen to this bastard. When you're watching these quotes, get your vomit bags ready. These guys make me sick. I told the brothers right now, I cannot be totally happy unless I kill these people. Then I'll be starting being really happy because I want to kill them. Because they're nominal Catholic people leading astray everybody and giving a wrong position about the true Catholic Church.
Can you speak to the original abortion involved in COVID-19 vaccine development and what is the involvement exactly?
Again, that varies with the vaccines that you're talking about. With the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine, there were no abortive fetal cell lines used in the production or the development. However, they did use aborted fetal cell lines in the testing to see if they were effective.
The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith stressing, though, that the licit uses of the vaccines does not and should not in any way imply there's a moral endorsement of the use of cell lines coming from aborted babies. This Vatican news comes exactly 1 week after the U.S. Bishops' Conference released its official statement on the COVID-19 vaccines and ethical concerns. That announcement, signed by the chairmen of the Doctrine Committee and the Pro-Life Committee, justified the use of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, saying they are not morally compromised, even though the fetal cell lines were used in the confirmatory testing.
There you go. Even though they depended upon murdered infants, you can still take it. That's what you're getting from the Vatican. That's what you're getting from this Bowser-faced dog, this nasty nominal Catholic bishop. You're going to hear more quotes on him, the hypocrisy. Now, then they had another dilemma when the Johnson & Johnson AstraZeneca came out. Because now, according to what he just said, folks, right, it was only used in the testing phase, so you can take it, right? So the implication is, if it was used in development and production, you can't take it. It's morally compromised. Oh, no. When that came out, and Johnson & Johnson AstraZeneca came out, and they said, hey, guess what? Fetal cell lines are used in the development, production, and testing. He came out and said, well, if you don't have access to Pfizer, Moderna, he says, and there's no other one that doesn't depend upon fetal cell lines, you can even take Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, even though it used fetal cell lines in the development and production. So now he got his so-called dogma changing. Now it's changing. First it was only the testing phase you can take it. Now you can take it if it's used in development and production. So now he changes his mind, and he allows you even to take these two, even though they were used in the development and production phase. We're going to go to the clips.
The AstraZeneca one, on the other hand, does use these aborted fetal cell lines that go back to 1960 when they were when the abortions actually occurred. So I think that's an important point to know, that these are very old cell lines. It's not like new abortions are happening because of these vaccines. And there are some vaccines that are still in development. I think there are 13 or so near the final stages, and some of those are completely free of any connection with abortion. And if those become available, certainly that would be our encouragement mm-hmm. for Catholics to use those. Mm-hmm. But if the only options are these, then we think the Moderna and Pfizer are even more remote from their cooperation in abortion than the AstraZeneca one. Mm-hmm.
To that point, is it also considered remote simply because of the amount of years between the abortion happened and the vaccine testing? Can you clarify that?
Yes. I mean, I think it's important to note that we don't see this as encouraging abortion. Certainly, that's not our intention. And it's not like new abortions need to occur for these cell lines. These cell lines have been replicated for decades now, and so they're using the same cell lines, I think, more out of convenience.
And what is the reason that he says that you can take these? And he says, because the fetal cell lines that were used in development and production go all the way back to the 1960s, 1970s, 80s, way back then. And so new babies aren't being aborted to make these vaccines. So he's saying it's okay to kill two babies back then. And after a certain amount of years pass, then it's like no longer murder anymore. It's like the statutes of limitations. After 10 years, it's no longer abortion. So we're only using aborted infants that were back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. That's like telling somebody, and he's a priest. He's a priest, but he's an apostate priest. That's like telling somebody, if you committed murder and you didn't confess it and you don't want to confess it, but if you wait long enough and so you committed like 10 years ago, it disappears. It's not murder anymore. It instantaneously does not become murder. It doesn't matter whether the baby was aborted in the 60s, in 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, or today, it's still murder. It's still, you're murdering an infant. It's the same thing. The passage of time does not make it good, does not make it acceptable. And that's the point he keeps driving home. This doesn't depend on newly aborted babies. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It depends on aborted babies. That's the point. So now he's coming up with new theology. You see, before the testing phase was the thing. Now he's got to make an excuse so he can take Johnson & Johnson, because it's using the development and production phase, and say, well, those cells anyway, go back to the 60s, 70s, 80s. Okay, well, same thing with the testing phase with Moderna and Pfizer. Why didn't he say that instead of the testing phase? Why didn't he say that, oh, even though it's used in the testing phase, it's aborted babies that took place in the 60s? He didn't say that. He's changed his whole tune so he can defend Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, and he's using that excuse now. So his dogmas are changing. You see how he's changing his teachings here on his moral teachings? They're almost as fast as lightning. He's changing to try to make excuses for these things. Now we're going to go where the dogma changes again. He now comes up with another reason, which undoes his former excuses. And now he just gives you a blank. Here's what he says in this. You're going to see in this clip. He now comes out and says, "You can take these vaccines because you didn't make them, and you didn't influence the production of them. So you have nothing to do with the development, production, or research, so therefore, you're remote." In other words, he's saying that you're not a partner in the crime, that you're not consenting to by your actions. He's trying to say that's not a sin. But here's the point. He's now saying that, because I think, so he's saying even if you came out with a vaccine where they aborted babies today, and then you used it for current aborted babies, you can still take that one because you didn't make it, you didn't influence. Now he's got a new excuse. You see how he keeps changing, and he contradicts himself? And you're going to hear, if that's the case, then why didn't he say right in the beginning with Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, you can take all these vaccines because you didn't make them and you didn't influence them? Why didn't he say that in the beginning? Because he keeps changing to try to come up, because when people are refuting him, he's trying to come up with more excuses. And so he considers that remote. The fact that you took it as remote and put it in your eyes, it's not remote. And he ignores the fact that you're a partner in the crime. You consent to it by your actions, and you're associated with it by your actions, by receiving it. So now watch. He comes up with this statement. Now, if that's true, then you should have said that in the beginning and forget this other crap about the testing phase and about the old fetal cells going back to the 1970s. Here. When you're watching this clip, though, notice the smirk on her face. You know what she's actually saying? She don't believe what he's saying. She's going, you're full of crap. I don't believe you. This is wacky. And you can see it on her face, too.
The reason you and Bishop Rhodes gave for permitting Catholics to receive either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine is, quote, thus, while neither vaccine is completely free from any connection to morally compromised cell lines, in this case, the connection is very remote from the initial evil of the abortion, a point you just reiterated. But, Your Excellency, isn't a remote connection to abortion still a connection? And can you explain why the vaccines are listed then?
Yeah, you know, we actually, the term is remote cooperation, which is an ethical term. So, and it's talking about what cooperation a person that's receiving the vaccine actually is having in the abortion. And that's why we say it's remote, because the person receiving the vaccine really had no influence on the decision on how that vaccine was tested or developed. So they're in receiving the vaccine, they're not giving approval to those decisions that were made by pharmaceutical companies, basically.
So there you go. There's a whole new, you should have said that right in the beginning. So now they're saying it's remote because you didn't make it or influence. So why did he go over all the crap about the testing phase and it wasn't used in development or production? Then he had to change his mind on the Johnson & Johnson because it was used in development and production. It's remote because it goes back to 1960 and 1980. And now he's saying it's remote because you didn't make it. You see that? See what's going on with these bums? You get this from scholasticism. Remember what St. Paul said? Our teaching to you was not it is and it is not, but it is. This guy keeps changing his mind like the scholastics do. They have their head spinning. He keeps changing his teaching on this issue to accommodate the people who are attacking him on it. So he's coming up with another one. He's making this stuff off the top of his head. This is the infection you got from the scholastics. You can see what this guy's doing right here. And she knows it, too, with this smirk on her face. She knows he's full of crap and he's lying. Wake up, people. This has been going on for years, though. This is just a moral issue you're dealing with. They've been doing this with theology from the time of the great apostasy and scholasticism. Now, here's another great point she brings up with him. Well, another point you're going to hear here. You're going to see his hypocrisy again. She says, well, I'm going to get into this as the last part about the reason why they say you can take it and that you should take it. Because you're saving your life and you're helping to save the lives of others. And that's what people tell us who don't want to take it, that we're murdering other people. By going out, we may have it, we're going to murder other people because we have it and we're nuts. And we're going to murder ourselves because we're not taking a vaccine. So we're going to get the last part, we're going to deal with that. But what I want to talk about, she brings up a great point. And she goes, well, wait a second. First she asks him, she goes, do we have to take it? Is it morally acceptable not to take it? And then he comes out and he says, oh, yeah, it's morally acceptable for those who don't want to take it. But it's also morally accepted to take it because you're saving your life and saving the lives of others. Well, how could it be both ways? How could you have it both ways? If you're morally obligated, acceptable to take it to save your own life and the lives of others, then if you don't take it, it's immoral and you're hurting others. If it's immoral to take it, then those who are taking it are immoral. You can't have it both ways. It's the same people in the Night of Salvation dogma. There's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. They're always followed by addendum. However, there are some people that are saved outside the Catholic Church, and so they contradict themselves. And this, it can't be both ways. If it's a moral choice, and I think the Vatican says you have to take it. The U.S. bishops are trying to say you don't have to take it, but they're being hypocritical. Because if it's a moral choice, and it revolves upon saving other people, and it's moral to take, then you got to take it. So you're going to go to the clip and see his hypocrisy on this.
Do you believe Catholics are morally obligated to receive the vaccine? Are you a bad Catholic if you don't get this vaccine?
No, you're not morally obligated. You know, what we say in the document is that it's permissible. And if you do choose, then the choice should be made because you're trying actually to do an act of charity to protect the health of others. And there is a moral obligation to work for the common good. And so that's where but that doesn't mean you're morally obligated to take the vaccine. But if you do, part of your motivation for that is for the common good.
If you're obligated, it's for the common good, and you don't do it, you're hurting the common good and you're immoral. You can't have it both ways, knucklehead! This goes on and on and on. Now look, I'm going to just, these last clips on this topic, I'm going to show a few clips that show you the confusion that was caused over what these people are doing and the agony some of these nominal Catholics have. Now, what I'm telling you nominal Catholics, you should have been out of that church long ago. It shouldn't take this vaccine thing to get you to question these guys. They've been talking about homosexuals, God, it's okay to be a homo as long as you don't do the homo thing. They got idols in the Vatican. I got some information against these people going back to the Renaissance era. Vatican II Church is even being piled on. So this will be the straw that broke the camel's back and let you people get away from these lying pieces of crap. Trust in these people. But now I'm going to show two clips on here showing you the confusion that this caused among the people.
The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith stressing, though, that the licit uses of the vaccines does not and should not in any way imply there's a moral endorsement of the use of cell lines coming from aborted babies. This Vatican news comes exactly 1 week after the U.S. Bishops' Conference released its official statement on the COVID-19 vaccines and ethical concerns. That announcement, signed by the chairmen of the Doctrine Committee and the Pro-Life Committee, justified the use of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, saying they are not morally compromised, even though the fetal cell lines were used in the confirmatory testing. But the U.S. bishops said Catholics should avoid the AstraZeneca vaccine because the aborted fetal cell lines were used in its design, development, production, and testing. The statement caused an outcry from many U.S. Catholics, including from Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. She is a scientist, theologian, mother of seven, and is executive director of Bishop Joseph Strickland's St. Philip Institute. Trisenkos gives voice to the grievances many U.S. Catholics are holding.
I felt the frustration. I felt the frustration personally with the moral calculus, I guess I would say. There was too much emphasis on this perception that the bishops are sitting in their chairs, thinking real hard, trying to appear very reasonable. And what us mothers and fathers out here needed was something more human, something with some heart in it, something more from a shepherd. Or a father saying, this is acknowledging how hard this decision is. This is abortion we're talking about. This is not some abstract calculus equation where we can just figure out the right answer with an equal sign. Since when did it become okay to use an aborted fetal cell line in research? Like, that's never been okay.
I spoke earlier today with Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. She's executive director of the St. Philip Institute in Tyler, Texas. She has a doctorate in chemistry, master's in dogmatic theology, and previously worked as a chemist. She has been a vocal critic of the U.S. bishops' response to the COVID vaccine. Take a listen to what she told me earlier about that disappointment some U.S. Catholics are feeling right now.
We don't want to be painted into that corner again where we have to make this choice, this morally coerced choice. We want to fight this. We want to demand something better. And it felt, to me, it felt like the leadership, the Catholic leadership, bioethicists, bishops, went and ran into that corner and left us out here to fight on our own. We needed some heroism. We needed some leadership.
Now, this Catherine Hedro, the moderator, gave another really good question. She's asking good questions. And, you know, if that was us, we probably wouldn't even be, there. I would condemn the guy to his face. I call him a hypocrite. I start blasting him out of water. But I guess she doesn't want to lose her job. But she does ask him good questions. She comes up with another thing that she's asking him this. And she's saying, you say that we can take it, even though it's morally compromised, as long as we condemn it, and tell them it's wrong and it's evil, but if we tell them that, then we can take it. And she says, she's saying, isn't this like hypocrisy? To tell someone that this thing is evil and we're condemning it, but at the same time we're taking it? By your actions, your words speak one thing, your actions prove another. Remember Jesus said in Mark 7:6, he says, Isaiah the prophet has, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as is written, his people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, their actions. St. Paul said this again in Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in their works, they deny him. They profess the vaccine is evil, but by taking it, they deny what they just professed, being abominable and credulous and to every good work reprobate. That is a humongous hypocrisy, and she's picking it out. How could I be condemning this thing at the same time I'm benefiting from it? I'm being a partner in the crime. I'm consenting to it by receiving it. I'm consenting to it by associating with it. I'm consenting to it by benefiting from it. And I'm going to tell people this is evil, but I can do it? It's like what they do in the Vatican. They go, idolatry is a sin. It's a mortal sin. But you can go in the Vatican and the idols are all over the place. It's the same theology. As long as you say that these idols are evil, you can put them up in the Vatican and it doesn't matter. These are the same people. Now, she pointed this out to him. And you're going to see it in this upcoming clip right here.
One question I'm seeing people raise is, how can a Catholic take up the moral obligation to protest a vaccine that was tested using aborted fetal cell lines if they are receiving the vaccine? How can you both protest it and receive it? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think it certainly is possible. You're taking it because of health reasons, perhaps your own health, but also the public health. So it's a life issue in that regard. And because, again, you're remote in your cooperation with the abortion, this abortion happened decades ago. It's not encouraging future abortions. But it's important for our voice to say abortion should end, and also the use of aborted tissue in scientific research needs to end as well. So I think we can say both of those messages with integrity.
It's not St. Paul correct, and uses our teaching to you is not, it is and it is not, but it is. What's this guy saying over here? Notice what, this brings us to our next section, a big one where it's heretical. He's trying to say you can commit a sin if good can come out of it. Well, even though it's morally compromised, by you taking it, you can save your life and you can save the life of a lot of other people. That's the excuse he's giving you. You can never commit a sin for any reason, no matter if good or whatever comes out of it, and for no reason. All right. So he's saying you could do this, even though it's more to save your life or the life of others. So he's trying to say your physical life is more important than dogmas and than your spiritual life, the life of your soul. So you can, so in the meantime, I can commit a mortal sin and my soul could be dead, but I can save my body and save the bodies of others. I just killed my soul by taking this thing. Didn't Jesus say, what is it profit a man to gain the whole world to suffer the loss of his soul? You're killing your soul. He only cares about bodies. And he makes a mockery. You know what? The blood of the martyrs is crying out on the altar of God. Think about his implications with the martyrs. Martyrs, they were told they had to offer up incense to an idol. An idol they did not make or influence. Maybe it was even created 1,000 years ago, so it's remote. So according to this guy, the martyrs should have offered up the incense to the idols instead of dying, losing their physical life, and causing the life of their family and other communities of people to die. So you should have offered up that incense because you didn't make the idol. The idol was made a long time ago, and you're going to save your physical life. And look at all the other people you're going to save. You know how many martyrs and community of martyrs? 3 million martyrs died in the 301st years of the church. According to this bastard, they would have went to hell. He's telling them it's okay to offer up the idol because there's a good that comes out of it by saving your physical life and the physical life of others. That's what he's saying. And he's not the only one that says it. You're going to hear a clip right now. Anti-Pope Francis I says it. This bastard Pastor Jeffress says it. We're going to go to clips on them teaching the exact same thing, this exact same heresy. And you're going to notice that after a statement at the very end, he undoes what he just said. So let's go to the clip and I'll explain it when it's over.
Pope Francis also says that it is a moral obligation to take the coronavirus vaccine. In a sit-down interview on Italian television yesterday, the Holy Father said those who do not receive the vaccine are playing with their own lives and the lives of others. Joining us now with more details is EWTN News Rome correspondent Colin Flynn. Colin, good to see you. So what more did Pope Francis say about receiving the vaccine?
Good evening, Tracy. Well, in a TV interview last night here in Italy, Pope Francis said it was everyone's ethical duty to take the COVID-19 vaccine and that he was in line to receive it as early as this coming week. In the interview, Pope Francis said it was an ethical choice because you're gambling with your own health, with your life, but also you're gambling with the lives of others. The Pope has also, of course, Tracy, on a number of occasions said that everything must be done to ensure the vaccine is available to all, not just those living in wealthy and first world countries. He would be getting the COVID-19 vaccine and that it must be done. Pope Francis, of course, is 84 years of age, and when he lived in Argentina, he had part of one of his lungs removed after suffering an illness, which puts him now in a very vulnerable category.
So he is saying that all these martyrs, wow, if you would have just offered up to the idol, even though you didn't create it, it was done long ago, you can do that. You would have saved 3 million martyrs in the first. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling you. He's worried about physical lives more than souls. You can never, even if somebody said, look, if you commit this mortal sin, I'm going to save 10,000 of your citizens, I ain't going to do it. Kill all 10,000. And guess what? You put your faith in God. If God wants those 10,000 citizens to live, he'll protect them. If not, then they die. They die. I'm not going to commit a sin for nothing or for nobody, not for the death, not for the people in the whole world can you do that. Faith comes first. Now this is the part of the clip where he contradicts himself completely to what he said, okay? Because his whole thing was that, you know, even though the vaccines are morally compromised and they're immoral, you can take it because you're going to save the lives of others. Now, here's where he contradicts himself.
Before I let you go, any other takeaways from the interview?
Yes, Tracy, he talked about abortion and said that this wasn't just a religious issue, but this was a human issue. In the interview, he said the problem was pre-religious. It is a problem of human ethics. He urged people to ask themselves this question. Is it right to delete a human life to solve a problem? Any problem? No, it's not right, is what he said.
Am I missing something here? Did that pastor just contradict himself? Did he just contradict himself? There he's teaching the truth. But before he said you can take these morally compromised vaccines and see if you can save lives by it. He just contradicted himself. You could take these aborted babies. You can even currently kill babies if you have no other vaccine and use them too. So how can you have it both ways? Here's your contradiction to this bastard. And by the way, folks, I tell you, he's not the Pope. He's an apostate anti-Pope. Call him a poop, call him a dope, but don't call him the Pope, okay? So there he is, contradiction, just what he said. And he knows these vaccines dependent on aborted infants. This is the kind of stuff you get from these people, folks. It's like the same thing you see today with the lies we have in our secular media. Now we're going to go again to that apostate Archbishop Naumann and teaching the same thing, that the reason you can do it is because you're helping to save the lives, physical lives of others.
A 2005 document from the Pontifical Academy for Life notes Catholics have an obligation to use ethically sourced vaccines when available. But if some are problematic, they can still be taken.
We really have to think about not only protecting our own health, but the health of others. And so the Vatican had already spoken about those and what the principles were. And again, the principle is that it's licit, that it's permissible. People aren't obligated to take the vaccinations, but it's licit and permissible. We have an obligation to do what we can to protect our own health, as well as to do what we can to protect the health of others. Mm-hmm. And that's those are good ethical reasons why one might choose to be vaccinated in this case.
I'm going to give you another example. If I have a baby, right, has got a heart problem, and my neighbor has a healthy baby with a nice heart, well, why can't I go in there, kill that, murder that baby, cut his heart out, and give it to my baby? Something even more like that, if I got a neighbor who has, I need to murder him because I got to take something out of his heart that we can all eat in the community to be saved, because if we eat that, his heart, like I can save 1,000 people in our community, I can go and murder my neighbor, rip his heart out, and we can all eat it and live. This is what their theology is teaching here. We're going to get into more examples when we're done. This is the last couple with these bastards. We're going to get into a Protestant now, Pastor Jeffries. This guy's an abomination. Wait till you hear what he says. It amounts to the same thing as to what they're saying. Only when he says it, it's even more gross and even more in your face, but it's the exact same thing. Wait till you hear what this Pastor Jeffries says about this. That's actually, I just played a clip. It'll speak for itself and we'll comment when it's done.
I don't want to discourage anybody from taking the vaccines because we got to stop this pandemic, but there is concern among some Catholic bishops and some evangelicals as well that the cell lines that were used to develop certain vaccines, particularly Johnson & Johnson, came from aborted came from aborted babies. Let's just say it out loud. So what exactly is your answer to that? I mean, there are people that don't want any connection there with abortion and vaccines.
Well, look, first of all, we would never abort babies to provide a vaccine. I think Francis Collins has denied that linkage, and he is a strong Christian himself. But, David, if we're talking about something from babies that were already aborted, I would just remind people the whole Christian message is that Christ, who was innocent, died for us and brought something good out of that unjust death. And I think if lives can be saved, even from the unrighteous killing of a baby, that there's something to be gained there. So I would not refuse the vaccine on that point alone.
Notice in the beginning you said we would use any vaccine that depends upon aborted infants, right? Then he said, well, these depend on aborted infants from long ago. So then it does depend on aborted infants. So he's using the argument about, oh, these are from long ago. It's still aborted infants. He's a hypocrite on that. Contradicting himself on that, and he's using the same argument these apostate nominal Catholics are using, that, well, good's coming out of it. That means, hey, the murdering of Jesus, a lot of good came out of that, so that means the apostles should have murdered him, participated in that murder, all right? I mean, this is what he's actually trying to say, that you can go out and you can actually commit a sin, because he's saying the same thing these nominal Catholic bishops, even more plainer and more in your face. And he contradicted himself. So now he's leaving the door open. Like, even if you're aborting current infants, you can do it because it benefits other people. You can save your physical life and the physical lives of others. And here's a Protestant that I bet you a lot of people, when they heard this in Billy Graham, they went against these guys. They were shocked by it. And, you know, so what is this? I think somebody's talking about the apostating to anti-pope Francis I. The one good thing he said, it's not just a religious issue, it's a natural law issue. That's true. You're right. It's natural law. And he's condoning that the murder of infants so a good can come out of it. So this is the heresy that we're talking about, where you can commit a sin and you're not guilty as long as good comes from it. Now we're going to use another great example from the life of the Holy Emperor St. Constantine, just to drive the point home even more. Before he converted, he favored Christianity, and he was still a pagan, and he was also considered himself believing in Jesus. So he was on that area where he didn't really convert yet. And he was beginning to convert, and he got leprosy. God struck him with leprosy. And then his pagan priest came along, and they told him that we can kill all these infants and put their blood in a bath, and you bathe in the blood of those murdered infants, those killed infants, and you'll heal your leprosy. And he said, and he thought about it, and he went, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to murder these babies so I get healthy. This would be wrong. And because he did that, God visited him at night in a dream, Saints Peter and Paul, and told him, because you chose not to do that sin, even though someone else murdered the babies and not him, because it's the same thing as taking the vaccine, because you would not do that, go to Pope St. Sylvester, he's hiding in a cave, and he will teach you the Catholic faith, and when you get baptized into the Catholic Church, your leprosy will be healed. I'm going to read the story from the Roman Breviary on the 12th month of the 31st day. If you want to get it from his own mouth, you can read it in the Donation of Constantine. It's about 3 or 4 paragraphs. It's beautiful. This is a summary of it. The emperor, having been advised by his physicians to seek the cure of his leprosy by bathing in infant's blood, same thing as the vaccine, right, was visited in his sleep by the holy apostles Peter and Paul. They bade him refuse the sinful remedy. These vaccines are sinful remedies. They even admit they're immoral, but they're saying you can still take it. So he refused to take the sinful remedy of the bath. If he desired to be cleansed from his leprosy and go to Sylvester, Pope St. Sylvester, who was then hiding on Mount Soracte, that having been regenerated in the saving waters of baptism, he should give orders that the churches after the manner of the Christians should be built in every part of the Roman Empire, and that he should destroy the idols of the false gods and worship the true God. Constantine, therefore, obeying the heavenly admonition, caused the most diligent search to be made for Sylvester and ordered him, when found, to be brought to him. This being done, and the pontiff having shown Constantine the portraits of the two apostles he had seen in his sleep, the emperor was baptized and healed and became exceedingly zealous in the defense of the propagation of Catholic faith by refusing the sinful remedy. That's a perfect example of these vaccines that depend on the blood, the aborted infants and fetal cell lines. He refused it. It was a sin. And because of that, he was blessed and he saved his life. Now we're going to go to another movie, right? This is really going to drive it home even more. How many witch doctors, warlocks, apostate Jews, what do we call the Jews, what they practice, the Kabbalah, and they have many things where you have to offer up a human sacrifice to the devil or to a false god, and healings take place, and people save their lives. It happens. Why do you think so many people go to witches and warlocks? They make a deal with the devil so they can save their life, the life of their family, and maybe the life of their whole nation. And this following clip from a very good educational movie called The Believers, which we edited, but it's a very good movie, which shows you the evil of brujeria and the workings of witchcraft. It has an example in here where these two people were missionaries in Africa, and their son was sick, and the whole place, African place where they were, was in famine. The people were starving to death. And they needed a human sacrifice so that the famine would be lifted. So they went to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor says, all I ask is for one of your sons. And if I sacrifice him, this one son, the witch doctor's human sacrifice, the famine will be lifted. Well, according to Pastor Jeffries and the Apostle Nominal Catholic Bishops, that's acceptable because you're going to save the whole area from dying from famine with just one life. After all, these two fetal cells, they only go back to two aborted infants. Only two, way back then, so we could murder them for the good of our physical bodies. They would say that what you're going to watch here now, with by this guy consenting to and giving his son to this, it's his son being stabbed, that this is okay because many lives are saved. So you can go to a witch doctor, you can go to the devil, and you can offer... That's what abortion is, like a human sacrifice to the devil, by the way. That's on the seat of the pharmaceutical companies. The sacrifice in these babies, in this case, for the research and the production of the products. So, according to them, what you're going to watch now would be totally acceptable, even though it's evil. They've said, oh, it's evil. We don't accept human sacrifice to the devil, witchcraft. But because all these people were saved from the famine, good came out of it, so you can do it.
Oh, hell of a week for you, my friend.
And a hell of a year.
Yes, it's true. It is hell, isn't it? There's no point in denying it. Kind of loss you suffered, that kind of grief, it's dreadful. What can you do? Be a man about it. That's what you've done. You just go on. And then, one day, you wake up, and it's just the slightest bit better. And that's the way it changes, little by little, small increments. Yeah, that's the way it was with us. We thought we'd never get over it, but you do.
What was that?
Kate's field work, postgraduate, summer of 46. The Sudan, 11 months in the bush. Haven't I ever told you the story?
Yeah.
Worst drought in 50 years, then cholera. We saw half the tribe decimated. Daniel was only 4 years old. Oh, I'd argued against bringing him. Kate insisted. She couldn't bear to leave him that long. Then when Daniel took sick, the eldest of the tribe came to see us. We developed a trust with them by then, a bond. What they suggested seemed unthinkable, against nature. But you see, Cal, Daniel was so clearly beyond any medical help. As outsiders, it was really a great honor. Daniel was very brave. And the drought did him, Cal. We were delivered. The life of another child was saved. A most remarkable child, Cal.
Of course you're uncertain, Cal. Naturally, so was I. Till I met him. But now imagine, if you can, a life without uncertainty. Freedom from doubt. The ability to choose. Single-mindedness.
One life from each of us, Cal, is all he asks. And he rewards our devotion a thousandfold.
Personal desires. Oh, yes, of course, anything. That's part of it.
It's only the beginning.
All I ask is two babies to be murdered. Is that too much? Two infants, that's all. Murder those two infants to save the whole human race. What kind of thinking is that anyway? Like, where's your faith in God anyway? But this is the exact same thing. Their theology says this guy was correct what he did. Even though he would say, well, I'm a Christian, so-called Christian, I don't really support witchcraft, but in this case, we saved the whole place from famine and cholera. Same thing, right? Exactly. That's what the theology these people are teaching here. They're teaching you. Now, because... The other thing we're going to get into here is that the True News people pointed out when how that these vaccines depended upon human sacrifice, offered up at the altar of the pharmaceutical companies in order to make their vaccines. We're going to go to the clip now.
My own position is each one of the four major vaccines that are being touted right now were either developed using aborted fetal cell lines or were tested using aborted cells. There is no doubt about that. There is no question about that. That is, even Snopes confirms that, if you guys believe in Snopes. But even they confirm that all four of the major vaccines were developed with that. I have a very deep ethical problem with that. How can you justify using a product of any kind that someone had to be sacrificed to do it? How?
An innocent child.
Yeah.
An unborn baby was sacrificed at the altar of the pharmaceutical companies.
I'm going to go for another clip on this True News where they point out the fact that Franklin Graham actually said if Jesus was around now, he would take the vaccine himself. And they point out two good points on here. First of all, Jesus is God. His precious blood is also divine and pure. It's holy. He has no concupiscence. So first of all, Jesus never got sick, so he didn't even need to take medicine. That's a side point, but it's a true point. Secondly, Jesus would never put anything defiled into his precious blood. Shoots something that depended on aborted babies into his precious divine blood. It's a very great point that they bring out here, condemning again that bastard Franklin Graham. One mention on this too. This caused these guys to question Franklin Graham. They says, I had to go start looking at this guy. He's a bum. And his father's a bum too. And we're going to get into that later on. You're going to find out more about these guys, how really bad they are. And Billy Graham was a Freemason, and probably so was Franklin. But these particular True News people were evangelicals, and they broke away. I think Franklin Graham's a Southern Baptist, and they're bad too. But he broke away from them because of all their hypocrisies. But this one really got him angry at Graham to make him study him even more. But here's a clip where he points out the part where Franklin Graham said Jesus would take the vaccine.
But I would say two words, utter stupidity. I mean, this is a gift from God. God promotes healing, and if you value life, you'll take these vaccines.
Now, I'd like to know how killing babies is a gift from God. I really would like to know that.
Well, he's not the only one speaking positively of the baby-killing vaccine, and the big one has been Franklin Graham. This one, I think, shocked a lot of Christians in the country. Well, not enough to cause Franklin Graham to make any kind of correction to this when he said this on the 17th. But Franklin Graham, in an interview with ABC News, absolutely told them that he believes Jesus Christ himself would have used a COVID vaccine had he been alive during the pandemic.
Here's what he said exactly, just so there's no question about it. This is his words exactly. I would hope that the pastors in the pulpit would tell people how they can be saved from God's judgment, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so far, so good. I think for a pastor to tell someone not to take the vaccine is problematic, because what would happen if that person got coronavirus and died? Then is the pastor responsible? See, throwing the guilt trip on. I would feel responsible. Anytime there was a vaccine or something that could help protect you, he, referring to Jesus, was an advocate for, he took it. I think if there were vaccines available in the time of Christ, Jesus would have made reference to them and used them.
When he was referring to he took it,
his father.
I think he's talking about his father.
Billy his Graham. Father.
Okay, thank you for the yes. correction there.
He was referring that his father, Billy Graham, was an advocate of vaccines. This statement was so shocking to us last Friday. We had already made plans to cover the Canadian pastor's crisis, so that we didn't talk about it on Friday. But this is absolutely shocking that Franklin Graham, number one, is promoting the coronavirus vaccine with erroneous statements. But to say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would have been vaccinated himself and Jesus would have promoted it, it shows that Franklin Graham does not know the gospel. He does not understand the divinity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in human flesh. How could Franklin Graham come up with the idea that God would give himself a vaccine? Franklin Graham, do you not understand the blood of Christ is perfect, is pure? Do you understand the blood of Jesus? That Jesus could not and cannot, he could not then, he cannot now be infected with any virus or germ or disease. He's pure life. He's Zoe, pure life. There's no death in him. Franklin Graham, do you really believe Jesus would be afraid of a virus? Do you think that on the way to Calvary, he stopped by at the vaccination center so he wouldn't get coronavirus and die before he got to the cross? That's how bizarre your thinking is.
Yes.
Where did he come up with this, Doc?
All these guys appear to be compromised.
All right, now the last clip on this particular section about the immorality of the vaccine. We're going to another Protestant who's correct on this issue, at least, and convicted, and he knows how evil it is to take these vaccines. And his name is Pastor Tony Spell, and we'll go to the clip right now.
You're telling your church members to choose not to have a vaccine?
That's right.
You're telling them. Don't get it.
I do it every service.
You might have heard about Pastor Tony Spell of the Apostolic Pentecostal Life Tabernacle Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I believe it's genocide. I believe it's infanticide. When you take a fetus from a mother's womb, the safest place in the world, and you take that baby and you use those stem cells to inject into somebody's bicep to keep them from dying from a virus, I don't trust you.
Where in the Bible does it say don't get a vaccine?
1 Corinthians 6:19, 1 Corinthians 3:16. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Lord dwelleth not in temples made with hands. It's not a building. But the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth in us. Don't defile that temple. Any man that defileth that temple, him will I destroy.
Now we're going to talk about the second reason why you should not take the vaccine. It has to do with health reasons. It's not trustworthy. Now, I didn't study all vaccines, so I'm not trying to say all vaccines are bad, although I'm of the opinion they might be, because you don't really need vaccines. It's something your natural immune system with vitamins and therapeutics could help you. So there may be something behind the idea where some people think all vaccines are not good. I'm not sure about that. There might be some good ones. I'm leaning towards the opinion that there aren't any good ones, but there now have been some vaccines that have proven, like the MMR vaccine for mumps, measles, and rubella. You can't take them also because I think they also use aborted infants, but for health reasons too, there's a high susceptibility of your infants getting autism. We're going to show that in these clips as we go on. Now, the COVID-19 vaccine, you have more reason to be suspicious of that vaccine because it has DNA and RNA in it, that's how they made it, with synthetic RNA and DNA, and so they're shooting that into your arm, and so there's a high probability that can manipulate your own RNA and your own DNA. And now people are taking this vaccine, they're going, I took it, nothing's happening. It doesn't have to happen right away. It doesn't have to be a short-term effect. It could take a long-term effect. They have drugs out there that they take off the market that 10 years later they find out it gave you cancer. They have that chemical Roundup that you use in your garden that you can be spraying it around for 10 years, and then 10 years later you get cancer and they found out it's from Roundup. So even though you're not dropping dead when you take this vaccine, that doesn't mean it's healthy. It could be doing other things to your immune system too. Because, you know, people are becoming more, since you have modern synthetic drugs, I'm not against all drugs, neither. I love science, I love doctors, I love medicines, good medicines, I really do. God says they're necessary for mankind. But since Rockefeller took over the medical profession and the drug businesses, they've been more and more and more developing drugs that are actually harmful for you, more harmful than they are good. And some may be even made purposely to be harmful to make you sicker for other reasons, so you're going to take more drugs. I've never seen so many allergies in my life among people. When I grew up, there's maybe one of my cousins had an allergy. Out of my whole family, in my whole school, maybe one person had allergies. Now everybody's got them. What happened? I mean, something happened there. The foods that you're eating with these synthetic chemicals that are in there, these modified foods, there's a lot of things they're doing to us that are weakening our immune system. They could even be dropping stuff over bioweapon stuff to make you weaker and sicker. Because when you get weaker and sicker, you need medicines. And when you need medicines, the drug companies make a lot of money. Think about how much money they're making. Allergies, for instance, now. Almost everybody has allergies now. When I grew up, it was not that way. So think about how much money they were making on these allergy pills. I'm just giving you an example of how you can't even trust regular medicines, let alone vaccines. I was using an example with your brothers too, in the days when they had the Black Plague in Europe and people were wiped out, like whole groups of people, they didn't have vaccines. The thing eventually ended. It ran its course, people got the immunity, and it was over. Of course, the Black Plague too was sent from God. All these things God allows. The devil could be behind it too. But your natural immunity, your herd immunity, eventually overcomes it. But the main thing we're going to talk about, the COVID-19 thing, is that these things are modified RNA and DNA, and they're very dangerous. And even though they might kill you today. It could make you unhealthy, and it could kill you later on down the road with cancers, and can also affect your offspring also. So there's a lot of consequences with vaccines that you don't know about. And the other thing is the ineffectiveness of vaccines. Let's talk about that, right? They got this I never take the flu vaccine. I don't take it, right? And when people take it every year, and then they say, well, we're not guaranteed that it's going to work. You still may get the flu, but it's just not as bad as if you took the vaccine, the effects are not going to be as bad. How do you know that? How do you know that? I'll give you an example. I just told, in the earlier lecture, I told you, I used to get the flu every year. I never took the vaccine, and I would get it pretty bad. For the last 2 years, though, I've been taking vitamin C with calcium and magnesium, and I take three times a day, and I've been doing it for 2 years. I haven't got the flu. I didn't get it at all, and I don't take the vaccine, okay? It's a money-making thing, too. But money-making is one of their motives for it, but it's not the only motive. They want to poison you. And by poisoning you and making you weaker by things that you think are supposed to be helping you, it makes you go to the doctor more often, take more drugs for other symptoms that develop. So in this section, I'm going to show you where this COVID-19 is very suspicious. I won't go near this thing with a 10-foot pole. You're telling me it's got DNA and RNA in there? And you're going to shoot it into me so you can manipulate and change my RNA and DNA, the potential of this thing? And they came out with the thing so quick, they didn't have time to do tests on it to see how it's affecting people. So we're going to just go to some clips to show you how unsafe this is and why you should not take it. Because it's very probably not good for your health, okay? Now, I already said the first reason you must not take it is because it uses aborted infants in its testing phases or its production and development phases. So now we're going to go to a clip and show you some information about this COVID-19 vaccines. And this is from Battle for Humanity.
I'm very excited to be here, and I feel it's very urgent that we get this information out to everyone. I started researching vaccines probably in my early 20s, been very interested in them, but never before have I seen the technology being used on this proposed COVID-19 vaccine, never before. First of all, this vaccine will be using a modified RNA or modified DNA in the vaccine. So why is this important? It's important to know because it could potentially alter our DNA, our genome. And what's the big deal about DNA or RNA? Well, our genome. Well, the genome is what makes us human, what separates us from the rest of the animals and plants in the world. It's the blueprint for what creates us, how we reproduce, how we function, how we repair. So one little change, one little protein inserted, one taken out, one changed, can actually create a congenital defect or a hereditary disorder. So a little change is grand. So something that can alter that could really be devastating on us humans, right? So they're proposing to use this technology, and part of this is called transfection, okay? Transfection is the same technology being used to make a genetically modified organism, such as a tomato or corn in the grocery store. And we all know that Monsanto is pretty well known for making genetically modified organisms. And they're not as healthy as the organic, the wild type that you see out in nature. So if this is the same technology being used on the plants, well, what would happen to us humans? Potentially, we would not be as healthy, okay? And I want to remind everyone that this is the first time that it would be used on humans large scale. We would be the experiment. We would be the lab rats. We don't have long-term studies. So this is very, very important to know.
Why is this important in relation to vaccines? Recently, there was a secret meeting by the top vaccine safety specialists from the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. This meeting was secret. It was not supposed to leak out. Someone with a conscience leaked out the footage of that meeting because those top vaccine safety specialists from around the world admitted to each other their deep concerns about the many long-term health damages caused by vaccines and the many deaths that it causes. And they literally say, what one of the chief scientists from the World Health Organization says, we have no good safety systems in many countries, and we have no answers when people have questions about the deaths occurring due to vaccine.
Because we're not able to give clear-cut answers when people ask questions about the deaths that have occurred due to particular vaccine.
And therefore it seems to me that it is not unexpected if they multiply the incidence of adverse reaction that are associated with the antigen but may not have been detected through lack of statistical power in the original studies.
You are correct. The major health concern which we are seeing are accusations of long-term effects.
We have a very wobbly health professional front line that is starting to question vaccines and the safety of vaccines. When in medical school, you're lucky if you have a half day on vaccines, never mind keeping up to date with all this.
Now, in this next clip from Battle of Humanity, the same documentary, they talk about how the MMR vaccine causes autism in a lot of children. An interesting part about this, and I don't know if I'm going to have clips from this on here, but you got to look at this. It's called Vaxxed, and it's a documentary on the MMR vaccine, how it causes autism. And this is actually really happening. On that, the head guy, I think his name was Thompson, on the CDC, who was conducting the research and finding out the adverse effects from the MMR, they said, we got a serious problem with this. It causes autism in a lot of kids, a high percentage of kids, especially black kids. And so... But what happened was when he was doing the research, he was going along with it, and he couldn't take it anymore. He finally came out and said, we did some really horrible things there, and we covered up all this evidence. And the Vax thing, if you look at it, shows you how the CDC burnt documents and removed them, changed the research data on the documents so it would reflect what they wanted to reflect. And when this guy Thompson came out as a whistleblower, they then tried to discredit him. But there's 100% evidence they proved to you how the CDC covered up all this evidence that the MMR vaccine is really causing autism. And a lot of these children, especially black children, and they don't want people to know it. This is the same CDC that's behind this COVID-19 vaccine. But we're going to go to the clip now, and this is relates to the MMR vaccine and how it was causing autism in these children, and they were trying to cover it up. Here we go.
A serious form of autism causes people to no longer be able to think clearly, they cannot speak properly, they cannot behave properly, they are mentally handicapped. A study was performed by the CDC to investigate the link between vaccines and severe autism. They found that indeed vaccinations cause autism. What happened? They threw all the evidence in a dustbin that they put in the middle of the room. They destroyed the evidence and they released a scientific paper in the renowned magazine Pediatric, where they said, no, vaccines do not cause autism. The chief scientist of that investigation, of that study, William Thompson, he came out and he said, I am guilty. We have hidden the truth from the public.
You and I don't know each other very well. You have a son with autism, and I have great shame now.
There's a whistleblower from the CDC who's going to come out and say that the CDC had committed fraud on the MMR study and that they knew that vaccines were actually causing autism.
My oldest son, Ian, was walking and running. After the vaccine, he was no longer able to do that.
So I called a clinic and I said, I think my child's had adverse reaction to those shots.
And then came the head banging, the constant banging against anything that he could find.
Right now, I'm sitting in a very pretty position in terms of providing you a lot of information.
The relative risk of receiving an autism diagnosis was astronomical.
Wow. The CDC had known all along there was this MMR autism risk.
In CDC's judgment, the best public policy is to continue vaccination unchanged.
You who run our health agencies in this country, you have an obligation to make sure that these studies are complete, thorough, so that we have all the facts.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we did what we did. But we did.
Omission of crucial data, destruction of documents, misleading the Congress, grievous harm to innocent children.
Everything I've been telling my patients for the last 10 years has been based on a lie and a cover-up.
Parents should be able to count on federal agencies to tell them the truth.
Now, most of those clips were from the documentary Vaxxed. And you really, we'll have it posted up so you can know where to get it and all that. But you got to watch that whole thing, and it's got tremendous evidence on there. This is the same CDC that's making the COVID-19 vaccine and coming up with these approvals. That's the same people. There's another example they give when DDT came out, that pesticide, I think it was a pesticide when it came out. And they said, oh, it's perfectly safe. And later on, they found out the thing poisoned and ruined the health of many people. And also the swine flu, I think, vaccine, which causes cerebral problems. So we're just going to show you more lies from the medical professions that are pumping out these drugs that are killing people, and they're doing it knowingly, making you sick on purpose. Here we go.
And so what they have done is they've decided that there's an approved narrative. If it is in line with the CDC's public pronouncements, and if it's in line with the World Health Organization public pronouncements, it is presumed to be correct. I don't have to remind many Americans that the Center for Disease Control was the one that said you should use DDT in your homes.
Used right, it is absolutely harmless to humans and animals. Remember the name, DDT. It spells certain death.
A scientific panel today reported that pesticides may indeed represent a grave threat to mankind.
Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer, and Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, there's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program?
No.
No one ever did?
No.
I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination. That simply is not true. We did know that.
And he's lying.
I guess you would have to make that assumption.
Then why does this report from your own agency list neurological complications as a possibility? You didn't feel it was necessary to tell the American people that information.
Dr. Censor's CDC also helped create the advertising to get the public to take the shot.
The vaccines are safe, so roll up your sleeve.
And now Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death.
In this next clip from Plandemic 2 also, we're going to see how Bill Gates was financing and promoting a genetically modified vaccine which is shooting through the arms of people in India, which caused great damage to their children and their offspring. Here, you're going to see that clip.
Welcome back. Were several Indian tribal girls used as guinea pigs? The report alleges that two American pharma giants' untested vaccine was administered to thousands of tribal girls without proper study and paperwork.
India was among the hardest hit after Bollywood celebrities were incentivized by the Gates Foundation to urge the public to submit to mass vaccinations. In 2009, tribal children were administered the HPV vaccine. Over 24,000 girls were told they were being given wellness shots, in many cases without the informed consent of a parent or a guardian.
The people that were administering these vaccines lied to the guardians of these girls and told the girls, oh, this is gonna cure cancer, you're never gonna have cancer. And these girls became severely injured. Some of them developed seizures, some of them developed cancer. And seven girls died, and there was no insurance, there was no assistance for them, and the Gates Foundation denied that it had been clinical trials. And it was so bad that the parliament in India created a task force, they studied it, and they kicked out the Gates Foundation.
But India is a barbaric country. Things happen here in a very barbaric way. But I was surprised to find an American organization operating in broad daylight, doing things in a very, very, let's say, Indian fashion. And so the route I took was that I want the whole procedure to be investigated. The Indian Parliament formed a committee, and it was to me a rather surprising move because you generally don't often have such a high-level inquiry into matters affecting poor people. And that was such an extraordinary report. I don't think Indian Parliament has ever come out with such a scathing report. And the government officials came up and said, we shouldn't have authorized this. We're sorry. We're not going to allow them again. And now they're back doing their same old tricks again.
The good news is that human clinical trials can start as early as July 2020 for India's first COVID-19 indigenous vaccine that's been developed by Bharat Biotech.
So you can imagine how the manipulation of the media by the media, the manipulation of public opinion by leaders from all political parties unanimously saying, we want a vaccine. And the worst thing is they are taken as philanthropists. Whereas what this actually is the acquisition of political and financial power. And I think the second most populous country with 1.3 billion people is going to be a good base for pharmaceutical companies to make a killing and also kill a lot of people in the process. Yes, I just find it a pity that we haven't been able to get any benefit for the girls who suffered, you know. It's so terrifying as to what they're actually doing with the world.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
I'm happy to announce that we've discovered a vaccine. We no longer have to live in fear. Everyone can get back to their normal lives.
It's the great hope galvanizing the world, a vaccine for COVID-19. But are we being sold a lie? After all, COVID-19 is the seventh coronavirus to strike mankind, and we've never found a vaccine for any of them.
The shortest time anybody's ever found a vaccine against any disease that I'm familiar with is about 7 years. The average time is 20. To be talking about a magic bullet coming in months, it borders on the absurd.